I'm so excited for Hope in the Dark Part 2. If you guys are, why don't you make a little bit of noise? Come on. Have some fun as we get started today. Really, really looking forward to it. And if you haven't already, grab out your message notes. They're there inside your worship guide so you can follow along today and keep some notes. If you haven't done this already as well, there are some three-ring binders out at our welcome table. Those are for you. You've already paid for those with your tithes and offerings. And so if you'd like to pick one of those up and start collecting your message notes, if you haven't done that yet, I highly encourage you to stop by and do that. This Hope in the Dark series is going to take us all the way up to Easter. Can you believe we're already talking about Easter? I think here in the Midwest, we're like, yeah, come on. Like, come on, Easter. We're ready for you. Whenever you came in, there were these Touching Heaven Easter at Echo 2019 cards on your seat. Those are for you. We know that a lot of you guys are inviting friends and family to Easter, so these are just a little tool to help you along in that way. Listen, statistics are overwhelming. Whenever you invite somebody to church, that somewhere around like 80% of people will say yes, and it goes up even higher around Easter time. The whole world's thinking about Jesus. So if there's a friend, a family member, coworker you've been thinking about inviting, this is the season. We'd love to have him here on Easter. It's going to be a really, really fun day. I told you this series is going to be a lot of fun as well, and I even mentioned last week that we're going to be having a couple of guest speakers here with us. Next Sunday, there's going to be a gentleman named Pastor Kyle Brownlee here joining us. He comes all the way from Defiance, Ohio. It's like the best name ever for a town, right? Like, you got to be tough and gritty if you come from Defiance, Ohio. They've got an amazing church there called Experience Church. They actually launched out of a YMCA about 7 or 8 years ago. They're in the process of building their first building, just doing incredible things. They've seen thousands of people come and just great, great stuff. You do not want to miss Pastor Kyle next Sunday. And today we've got an amazing friend of ours here at Echo Church joining us today. Pastor Stu Hodges and his daughter Taylor is here with us. Can you guys say hello to Taylor? Hey, go ahead. You can tell her good morning. Good to have you with us, Taylor. Before Pastor Stu comes up, I got to give a bit of an introduction because we just love him so much. Here at Echo Church, we have four overseers. And so there are senior pastors of other churches that we have selected that are years ahead of where we are and where we want to go. And so they are a part of us. They guide us. They counsel us. They're a part of several of legal and financial decisions. But more than anything, they pray for us. They encourage us. And they're just there. We call them up. We text them when we're needing a little bit of wisdom and needing a little bit of help and encouragement. And Stu is one of those. He's just been a tremendous encouragement to us. Some of you might be meeting him for the first time today, but he's been praying for you for a very long time. So when Echo is just an idea, when it was just a prayer, when you're just beginning to feel like God was calling us into something, we called him up and said, we need somebody who's in our corner on our team. And he said yes right away. And so we're just so thankful that he's here. Listen, I listen to a lot of pastors. I get encouragement from a lot of different places. And I'm telling you, he's a world-class communicator, world-class leader. We're so thankful for him. Their church, Water's Edge Church, down in Yorktown, Virginia, just celebrated 16 years. And they were birthed out of a YMCA. Now they've got several campuses and several thousand people over the years have begun following Jesus because of it. Would you stand to your feet, put your hands together, give some honor for our good friend, Pastor Stu Hodges.
Oh, come on, Echo. How you doing? All right. Please be seated. And I'm so thrilled to be back. And I'm so proud of how God is working in you and how he's working through you. And I was just thinking, last weekend, we did at our church, Water's Edge, celebrate 16 years. And I just think it's important for you to know this. As we celebrated our 16th birthday, I told a lot of stories, all right? I just remembered a lot of phenomenal moments over the last 16 years. And every year has been better. Every year we've had greater influence and had a greater impact. But I just think it's important that you know that as we celebrated our 16th birthday, the stories I told were actually all about years 1, 2, and 3. Every story I told last weekend was actually about years 1, 2, and 3, which happened to be the years you're living in right now at Echo Church. I don't know if you know that or not, but this is like 18 months in the making. That's it, brand new. You're here in the moments where God is forming something great and you're a part of building it. And 16 years from now, thousands of people will gather and tell stories. And guess whose story it'll be? It'll be your story because you're here to experience it. Come on, that's something to celebrate, y'all. That's an awesome thing. So we're thrilled you're here, and we just love you, and I love your pastors, Chad and Katie, just the best of the best. They love you so much, and they lead you so well, and it's my honor to come alongside of them. And I said this earlier, you know, it's been over a year since we were last here. Your pastors get better looking with every year. Did you know that? I mean, come on. They do. It's so good. It's so good. Well, today I want to continue in this series called Hope in the Dark. Because if you've ever felt like your life is surrounded by darkness, if you've ever felt like circumstances were out of control, if you ever felt like life was going to go one way, but then you wake up and discover it's gone a completely different way, then you need to know there is hope in the dark. There's hope in the dark. And today I want to teach you that in order to have that hope, in order to truly experience it on the darkest days, you need one of these. Everybody needs an anchor if you're going to have hope in the dark. Now, I don't know much about Indiana. Honestly, I really am pretty new around these parts, all right? I came once last year, came back this year, liked it so much, I brought my daughter, hello. So you made a good impression, but I didn't really realize that boating is not really a thing, really, in Indiana. And do we have any boaters in the house? Anybody who, okay, two of you, that's awesome. That's really great. I'm not talking about kayaking and canoeing, all right? Like, Taylor and I thought about taking a gondola ride yesterday. That sounded fun, but I'm like, boating. So I reached out to Chad. I said, hey, Chad, will you get me an anchor? Will you give me an anchor? Because I really would like to have an illustration for Sunday. And he came back with this paperweight. Hello. I'm like, what is this? I live on the coast. We're surrounded by water on three sides. I live on a peninsula, and boating is kind of our thing. I love to boat. I got my boater's license, which kind of makes me an official boater. The only problem is I don't have a boat, all right? That's the only thing. It's the only thing I don't have. But I do have the best kind of boat, which is my father-in-law's boat, all right? That's the best kind of boat to have, somebody else's boat. I'm actually surprised that I like boating so much. I had a pretty, I would say, traumatic experience growing up boating. I think I was around fourth grade or so, and my dad really wanted to improve our relationship. You know, he really kind of wanted to be a better dad. And so he planned for us a little fishing trip. And that's like the classic father-son outing, right? Fishing. And so I'll never forget, he said to me one day, he said, on this Saturday, son, we're going to go fishing together. And he had done his research. He'd found this little tributary of the Mississippi River. And on this tributary was a little fishing shack. And in that fishing shack, they rented boats and they rented gear. And so he kind of built this thing up as it was going to be a full blown real life father son fishing trip. I was so incredibly excited. We woke up early on that Saturday morning. We loaded up his Datsun B210. Some of y'all don't even know about the Datsun B210. We headed off to this little fishing shack that sat back on a tributary of the Mississippi. I'll never forget pulling up and thinking, what on earth has he found? Because I was expecting real life fishing. I was expecting big boats. I was expecting an incredible outing. Instead, it was this old rundown shack that rents nothing but rusty old John boats. I mean, it was like from backwoods. And the guy who ran the shack had to live there. I mean, he looked like he was no less than 83, 84 years old, missing teeth, walked out just like as hillbilly as they come. And he said to my dad, he said, hey, do you want to rent a motor to go with this John boat? Now, back in those days, my family was poor. Like, we were dirt poor. Like, spaghetti night at our house was ramen noodles with ketchup. All right, that was spaghetti night. So we were real, I mean, we were hard up poor. And I'll never forget, my dad said, no, I'll take the two paddles. And I remember thinking, bad decision, Dad. Like, bad choice. So we get in this little rusty old John boat. And we decide, since it's early in the morning, we got plenty of energy, we're going to paddle upstream. We're going to go against the current. When we get upstream, we're going to fish. And then later in the day, when we're tired and worn out from catching all the fish, the current will carry us back down to the little fishing shack where we started. And sure enough, that's what we did. And we get upstream only to discover we don't have one of these. We don't have an anchor. So my dad ties us off to a tree branch and we commence to fishing. And I'm telling you, we had the time of our lives. One of my favorite memories, casting and reeling and catching fish and telling stories and literally went on for a couple of hours until finally one moment we look up and we realize we're drifting past that fishing shack. And much to our surprise, the current had caught us And it's pushing us downstream now. That little twig we had tied off on was floating in the river behind us. And we're headed straight toward the mighty Mississippi River. Now, I don't know if you've seen the Mississippi River. I don't know if you're aware of it, but it is not where you want to be in a little two-man John boat with two oars and no motor. And we were rowing for all of our lives to try to get back upstream to no avail until finally, out of nowhere, a boat came along, a real boat. That's a boat with a motor, by the way. A real boat came along, hooked us up, pulled us right back up to that shack where that old man came out and met us and said, "You fellas look like y'all about to have yourselves in a heap of trouble." I said, "You think, partner?" And the point of the story is this. We all need one of these. Yeah, everybody needs an anchor. When life begins to swirl out of control, when the current of your life whisks you away, when the dark waters of the Mississippi crash over the sides of the boat of your life, you need an anchor, because this is what gives you hope in the dark. I want to show you the imagery of an anchor in Scripture. And I really do hope and pray you never forget it. The words we're about to study were actually written to a group of Christians, a group of Christ followers who were in crisis. They had grown up in Jewish families. They had embraced the Jewish faith. And later in life, they had turned to Jesus for their salvation as the completion of their faith. And the results in their life were literally catastrophic. Most of them were disowned by their family. They were seen as outcasts by society. They were persecuted for their faith. Many of them were unable to keep jobs or continue in their businesses to make a living. And it's into those circumstances, into that situation, that the writer of the book of Hebrews gives some encouragement. Their story isn't that foreign to most of us, I would guess. Most of us who have known the challenge of trouble, most of us who have known the pain of trials. Most of us who knows what it feels like to have the waves of life crash over the sides of our boats. These words written to them are written to you as well. It's a beautiful image in Scripture. I love it so much. The writer of the book of Hebrews says this. Look at it with me. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. Isn't that beautiful? Much more eloquent than any words I could ever say today. We have this hope as an anchor for our soul, firm and secure. Have you ever wondered, what is my soul anchored to? I know that's kind of a preacher question. I know nobody asked that question on the commute home from work on Tuesday evening, right? You're more consumed with the daily demands of life. You're worried about who's driving carpool tonight. You're wondering what's for dinner tonight. You're wondering how old's the milk in the fridge, right? You know, when's the bill got to be paid? It's the demands of life that so often consume us. But it's actually those very demands, the pressures at work, the tension in the relationship, the challenge with our finances, the frustration, the disappointment, the fear, the anxiety, the stress. It's the storms of life, the shipwrecks of life, the waves of life that demand you actually have an anchor for your soul. Have you ever wondered, what's my soul anchored to? We all have something or someone that we can go to at the end of the day to know it's going to be okay. If maybe what's your soul anchored to is too deep of a question on a spring break Sunday. So let's just dumb it down a little bit. All right. Let me ask it this way. What's your go-to? You know, your go-to? Like when you're having a really tough day, when it feels really dark in your life, when the pressure feels really great, what's your go-to? Like, if I can just get to that, I'll be okay. If I can just remember that, I'll be okay. If I can just see that, I'll be okay. What's your go? Is it money? Money in the bank? You know, as long as I know I got that amount in the bank, that's my go-to. And I know everything's going to be okay. Is it your success? Like, as long as you've got the corner office, as long as you've got the nicer car, the bigger house, it's going to be okay. You just know, no matter what comes, as long as I've got my success, as long as I got my family, as long as I've got my friends, as long as I got my kids. So some of it's just like, man, if I can just get with my kids, just time with my kids, that's how I know I'm going to be okay. For others of us, it's just like, as long as I can get away from my kids, just like 2 hours away from my kids, like, I'm going to be okay, right? Maybe it's the next vacation. Like, in 3 more weeks, I'm going to get on the beach. It's going to be okay. Maybe it's a drink in your hand. Maybe it's a drug in your system. If I can just get that, just that fix, just that feel, I'm going to be okay. What is it for you? The hobby? I can just get on the golf course, you know? I can just get a little more sunshine. What is it? Because whatever it is that you would say, man, that's my go-to. That's how I know that I'm going to be okay. That's probably the anchor for your soul. And we all need one. We all need one. Because here's a little newsflash. You're looking at me all sweet and spiritual, but nobody polished their halo on the way to church today. I know. Like, nobody's life is perfect. No, nobody has pet unicorns jumping over rainbows, pooping Skittles in your life. I realize none of us are there. We all need something that we can turn to as an anchor for our soul. Jesus said it like this. Jesus said, I've told you these things so that in me, you may have peace. And why do you need peace? Well, Jesus told us. Because in the world, you're going to have trouble. Trouble's coming. We all know that. Trouble's on its way. If it's not on its way, it just left you and it's coming back soon, right? Trouble's on its way. All of us have a caution sign on the road life, on the roadmap of our life that says, hey, trouble ahead. It's coming for all of us. You're going to have trouble. Jesus says, in me, you're going to have peace. In the world, you're going to have trouble. And then he says this, but take heart because I've overcome the world. Jesus has overcome the world. So there are two realities. Will you think about these with me for a moment? Two realities. Reality one is the world in which we live where there is trouble. Oh, nobody in the room would argue with that. Okay, reality one, there's a world in which we live and there's trouble. Reality two is in Jesus, there's peace. Peace and trouble. World and Jesus. And today, here's what can happen. Those two realities can collide in your life. Did you realize that? Those two realities can actually collide, and you can be in the world with trouble and have peace in Jesus. That's possible because he's an anchor for our soul. This is why the anchor for your soul, it needs to transcend the world. It needs to transcend the world, the anchor for your soul. Because if you've anchored your soul to money, guess what? Money is in and of the world. And so it is subject to the same trouble that you are subject to in and of the world. So you need something that transcends the world to anchor your soul to. If you've anchored your soul to your friends, you might have great friends. That's awesome. But if you've anchored your soul to your friends are in and of the world, which means your friends are subject to the same trouble that you're subject to in and of the world. You need something that transcends the world to anchor your soul to. If it's success, if it's family, if it's kids, if it's the guy you're dating, he might be a great guy, but he's a lousy anchor because he's in and of the world. If it's a church, listen, this is a great church. If you're looking for a great church, you have found it right here, okay? If you're looking for the perfect church, keep looking, because you come here, you'll mess it up because you're not even perfect. Hello, right? But you need something more than even a great church. Somebody told me the other day, they said, hey, I visited your church once. I looked at him like, once? I said, that kind of offends me. You visited my church once at my church, we're kind of like a bag of Lay's potato chips. You can't have just one potato chip. You can't come just once. They looked at me and they said, well, the only reason I came once is because the music was too loud. I was like, well, you probably shouldn't come back again because we ain't turning it down. All right, just so you know. It's a great church. But we would make a lousy anchor for somebody. Sooner or later, a great church even. An incredible pastor, and you have one. They'll disappoint you. Because you know why? You need an anchor that transcends the world. Not in the world or of the world or subject to the trouble of the world. And Jesus said, I am that anchor. I have overcome the world. In the writer of Hebrews, look at it again. The writer of Hebrews says, we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. What's the anchor for our soul? It's Jesus. He's the anchor that will never disappoint and never let you down and never let you go because he's not in the world. He's not of the world. He's not subject to the trouble of the world. Jesus has overcome the world, everybody. And you can anchor your soul to him. To him, to Jesus. Firm and secure. Let me define those two words for you that the writer of Hebrews uses to describe Jesus. Firm just means this, that it will never totter when put to the test. Firm means that it will not move, it will not stagger, it will not wobble or shuffle. It's firm. And it's secure, meaning that it will not break under the weight of anything that steps on it. In other words, the anchor of Jesus will never move and will never break. Now listen, that's the anchor you need for your soul. If you're here today and you've anchored your life to something that's let you down, to something that's let you go, to something or someone, and you thought, man, I can trust them. I can put my faith in them. I can put my confidence in them. Only to find yourself racing toward the mighty Mississippi River and turn around behind you and the very thing you tethered your life to is just floating aimlessly behind you. Then you know you need something that will never let you go. That's the anchor. The anchor of Jesus. I want to just teach you two things today about this anchor of Jesus that I think you need to know. And my hope and prayer literally is every time you see this image, you think of these two things because it's how you get hope in the dark. Number one is this, that the anchor does its best work where no one ever sees it. Have you ever thought about that? The best work of the anchor is where nobody ever sees it, down deep at the surface of the ground, at the bedrock where it holds on tight. That's where the anchor does its best work, where nobody ever sees it. I have to believe that the devil, the enemy, wants you and I to believe when trouble comes that we're out to sea all alone. That we're out, left without any real hope in our darkness. That the devil wants you and I to ask questions like this. Jesus, I thought you loved me, but where are you now? I thought you cared for me, but where are you now? I thought you had what's best for me in mind, but where are you now? Let me tell you where he is in your darkest days. Jesus is beneath the surface of your life doing his best work. He's holding you at the core of who you are when you can't see him and when you can't sense him and when you don't understand him. He's beneath the surface, holding on tight, firm and secure, never letting go. He's an anchor. An anchor for your soul. I know we don't like that imagery. I know if we were writing the scriptures, we'd have chosen a different analogy. An anchor, really? Well, couldn't Jesus be like a helicopter for our souls, you know? Like, I'm drowning out here. Send the rescue helicopter, Jesus. That's who I really want you to be. But an anchor reminds me that I might not get rescued from the storm. I might actually have to hunker down and ride out the storm, but I will be safe through the storm because he is my anchor. An anchor does its best work beneath the surface where nobody ever sees it. And here's the second thing you need to know about an anchor is that the anchor holds on to you. Because there are some days when the wind is so fierce, the waves crash so hard, and the doubts flood your mind. Some days that your soul is so weary and you feel so tired. I've been there too. There are some days where you think, I just can't hold on to the anchor anymore. Those were the days those early Christians were living in, by the way. The persecution was so great. I just can't hold on to the anchor anymore. And the good news for you today, if you find yourself saying, I don't know how much longer I can hold on, you don't have to hold on any longer because the anchor is holding you. Holding you. That means that Jesus holds you in the middle of your disappointment. That Jesus holds you through the storm. That Jesus holds you through the divorce, through the bankruptcy, through the financial trouble. I can't hold on. God, my kids are driving me crazy. Guess what? He's holding on to your kids and holding on to you. Through the rejection, through the confusion, through the miscarriage, through the bad doctor's report, through the loss, through the heartbreak, through the sorrow, through the pain, through the madness of this world. Contrary to what the surface tells you, look beneath the surface and you will find an anchor holding on to you. Firm, secure, steady, never failing, never shifting, never breaking, never letting you go, because we have a hope in our darkness. His name's Jesus. He holds us even when we can't hold on to him. I was in a Wawa gas station, a combo convenience store, grocery store, gas station, and community meeting gathering place. All right, that's what the Wawa is to us. And I was there early one morning several months ago trying to get my kids out the door. Somebody, probably me, needed caffeine, and we were juicing up for the day. This guy comes walking up to me, Pastor Stu, I got to tell you my story. His name is Jacob. Jacob's a young man in his mid-30s who last July encountered some health issues, went to the doctor for a routine checkup, got directed from one specialist to the next, to the very best hospital in our state, where he was diagnosed with stage 4 digestive cancer and given months to live. And his world fell apart. His story shattered before his very eyes. You see, something you need to know about Jacob is that his world was fitness. It was health. He worked in the fitness industry. He sold fitness products every day of his life. He was at the gym. He only consumed the best of the best of the best. And the very thing he had anchored his life to, letting go, disappointed him, let him down. And a friend of his came along at just the right time and said, why don't you come to church with me? At the end of last summer, Jacob, broken down, battered and beat up, showed up at church. He said, Pastor, I want you to know, unless I've been in the hospital or getting treatment, I've been at church every single Sunday since. And for the first time in Jacob's life, he opened his heart up, his soul, to Jesus. That was a couple months ago. We started praying for Jacob. We started praying for healing in his life. We started praying for a positive outcome to every single doctor's visit. And I hadn't heard much from Jacob until this past Sunday. And after one of the services, I got a text message that said, "Hey, there's a guy here named Jacob. He'd like to come talk to you." I thought, "It's Jacob. It's Jacob. He's going to come and tell me that he's been healed of cancer, that the prognosis is bright for his future." He came backstage. I couldn't wait. And he walked in the door. We actually took a selfie together. Can I show the picture? This is Jacob and me between services last week. Look at that smile. I mean, look at the smile on that guy's face. With a smile like that, and a sermon like this, wouldn't you expect him to be telling me in that moment, "I'm healed of cancer"? That's not what he was telling me at all. He was telling me he had 2 weeks left to live. The doctors say not a day more. How does a guy with 2 weeks left to live, not a day more, stand with this preacher and smile like that? I'll tell you. Because along the journey, Jacob discovered there's an anchor for his soul. You know what he said to me? 2 weeks left to live, Pastor. I just wanted to say thank you for introducing me to Jesus. I know it sounds weird, but I'm actually excited for heaven. Your story might not be Jacob's. It might not be that extreme. It might not be that challenging. But all of us today have a story, which means all of us need an anchor for our soul. And listen, the same anchor that Jacob found is for you today too. His name's Jesus. He is firm and secure. And he will never let you go. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? Open your heart now. And Jesus, we just say thank you in these moments. We say thank you for being an anchor for our soul. Thank you for being steady and strong, steadfast, firm and secure, never letting go. And thank you that today for every single one of us, no matter where we find ourselves, what issue we face, we'll reach out with the rope of our life and tethered to you. Thank you, Jesus, that you will hold us in the darkest days, that you are our hope in the dark.
Yeah, would you continue praying with me as we're leaning into God? I want to give us a moment to respond. With our eyes closed and our heads bowed, I'm going to invite you to respond to God this morning. I'm not going to invite you to stand up or come to the front. I don't want to embarrass you, but I want to give you a moment to talk with God. Maybe you're here today and you would say you're a follower of Jesus, but there has been a storm, there's been a season of life that's come in, and you've hitched your anchor to something else. And today's the day you need to say, "No, Lord, during this storm, during this season, during this challenge, during this darkness, I'm looking nowhere but you." If that's you, would you just raise your hand up today? You're a follower of Jesus, and you need to put your anchor back with Jesus. Just raise up high for just a moment. Anybody else? Put your hands down. If that's you, would you pray this simple prayer with me? Would you simply say, "Lord, thank you that you are indeed firm and secure. Lord, you're going nowhere." Would you just thank him that he's faithful in your life? Maybe you would just need to speak to in this challenge. Maybe you've talked to everybody else about it, but you haven't talked to God about it. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's something at work. Maybe it's something at home. And you just need to say, God, I'm giving it to you. I'm trusting you with this challenge. Lord, I'm going nowhere else. But you say, Lord, you are the anchor for my soul. And I believe that you're going to hold strong all the way through, that I'm going to come out the other side, and you're going to be right there with me every step of the way. As we continue to pray, I want to pray for another group of people. Maybe you're like Jacob, and you had never placed your faith in Jesus. You had never said, you are the anchor of my soul. Maybe you had put it in something like fitness or a person or something here in the world. You say, today's my day. I need to place my faith in nobody else but Jesus. And again, I'm not going to ask you to come to the front. I'm not going to ask you to stand up. But I want to give you a moment to declare, Jesus, today is my day. I'm placing my faith in you. If that's you right now, would you just raise your hand up high with eyes closed and heads bowed? You say, Jesus, you're going to be my anchor going forward. Anybody else? It's wonderful. Anybody else? Put your hands down. Would you just pray this prayer with me? Would you say, Lord, I love you. Lord, I thank you. Lord, I thank you that you've pursued me. You've placed me here today in this moment. Let me hitch my anchor to you. Just say something like this. Say, Lord, I'm a sinner in need of a Savior, and I believe that you, Jesus, are that Savior. So today, Lord, I ask that you would forgive all of my past faults and failures, and I believe when Jesus went to the cross, Lord, he took all of it. You say, Lord, I believe that you rose up from the dead to give me new life, and today I reach for that new life. And with your help, Lord, I'll follow you from this day forward. God loves that prayer, Lord. So for all of us, Lord, this is not just a Sunday prayer. This is our Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and every day thereafter prayer. Lord, you are our anchor. Lord, we're looking nowhere else because we believe, Lord, that you have already overcome the world. You're our hope, you're our Savior. Lord, we're looking to you. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.